Old paths, where the good way is. Timeless truth from the Bible, Christian teaching, thought and meditations from prior times, read by missionary to Africa, James Robinette.
As Their Own Bodies by John Angell James, 1785 through 1859, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself, Ephesians 5, verse 28. A man's children are parts of himself. His wife is himself, for the two shall be one flesh, Ephesians 5, verse 31. This is his duty, and the measure of it too, which is so plain that if he understands how he treats himself, there needs nothing be added concerning his demeanor towards her. For what mighty care does he take of his body, and uses it with a delicate tenderness, and cares for it in all contingencies, and watches to keep it from all evils, and studies to make for it fair provisions, and is very often led by its inclinations and desires, and does never contradict its appetites, but when they are evil, and then also not without some trouble and sorrow. So let a man love his wife as his own body. Can it be necessary to apply the force of motives to produce an appropriate attention to such a duty? If so, I appeal to your sense of honor. Husbands, call to recollection the wakeful assiduities and the tender attentions by which you won the affection and the confidence of the woman who forsook her father and her mother and the home of her childhood to find a resting place for her heart in your attachment. Will you falsify the vows you plighted and disappoint the hopes you raised? That man has disgraced himself who furnishes just occasion to the partner of his days to draw, with a sigh, a contrast between the affectionate attention she received as a lover and as a wife. I urge affection to a wife by the recollection of that solemn moment when in the presence of heaven and earth, before God's minister and in God's house, you bound yourself by all the deeply awful formalities of a kind of oath to throw open and keep your heart open as the fountain of her earthly happiness and to devote your whole life to the promotion of her welfare. I appeal to you to regard justice. You have sworn away yourself to her and are no longer your own. You have no right to that individual, separate, and independent kind of life which would lead you to seek your happiness in opposition to or neglect of hers. You too are one flesh. Humanity puts in its claim on behalf of your wife. It is in your power to do more for her happiness or misery than any other being in the universe but God himself. An unkind husband is a tormentor of the first class. His victim can never elude his grasp nor go beyond the reach of his cruelty until she is kindly released by the King of Terrors, who in this instance becomes to her an angel of light and conducts her to the grave as to a shelter from her oppressor. For such a woman, there is no rest on earth. The destroyer of her peace has her ever in his power, for she is always in his presence or in the fear of it. The circumstances of every place and every day furnish him with the occasions of cruel neglect or unkindness, and it might be fairly questioned whether there is to be found on earth a case of greater misery, except it be that of a wretch tortured by remorse and despair, than a woman whose heart daily withers under the cold looks, the chilling words, and repulsive actions of a husband who loves her not. Such a man is a murderer, though he escapes in this world the murderer's doom, and by a refinement of cruelty he employs years in conducting his victim to her end by the slow process of a lingering death. If nothing else can prevail, interest should. For no man can hate his wife without hating himself, for she is as his own flesh. Love, like mercy, is a double blessing, and hatred, like cruelty, is a double torment. We cannot love a worthy object without rejoicing in the reflex beams of our own affection. Next to the supreme regard we cherish towards God, in which it is impossible to exercise and not hold communion with angels in the joys of heaven, connubial love is the most beatifying passion. To transvenom this into unkindness is to open at the very center of our soul a source of poison, which before it exudes to torture others, torments ourselves. I cannot here avoid inserting the exquisite and touching appeal which Mr. J. puts into the lips of married women to their husbands. Honor us, deal kindly with us. From many of the opportunities and means by which you procure favorable notice, we are excluded. Doomed to the shades, few of the high places of the earth are open to us. Alternately, we are adored and oppressed. From our slaves, you become our tyrants. You feel our beauty and avail yourselves of our weakness. You complain of our inferiority, but none of your behavior bids us rise. Sensibility has given us 1,000 feelings, which nature has kindly denied you. Always under restraints, we have little liberty of choice. Providence seems to have been more attentive to enable us to confer happiness than to enjoy it. Every condition has for us fresh mortifications, every relation new sorrows. We enter social bonds. It is a system of perpetual sacrifice. We cannot give life to others without hazarding our own. We have sufferings that you do not share, cannot share. If spared, years and decays invade our charms, and much of the ardor produced by attraction departs with it. We may die. The grave covers us, and we are soon forgotten. Soon are the days of your mourning ended. Soon is our loss repaired. Dismissed even from your speech, our name is to be heard no more. A successor may dislike it. Our children, after having a mother by nature, may fall under the control of a mother by affinity and be mortified by distinctions made between them and her own offspring. Though the duties that we have discharged invariably be the most important and necessary, they do not shine. They are too common to strike. They procure no celebrity. The wife, the mother, feels no historic page. Our privations, our confinements, our wearisome days, our interrupted, our sleepless nights, the hours we have hung in anxious watchings over your sick and dying offspring. To conclude, let us all seek after more of the spirit of true biblical Christianity, the spirit of faith, of hope, of prayer. This faith really believes the Word of God and looks habitually to the cross of Christ by which we obtain salvation. It looks to the eternal world where we shall fully and forever enjoy it. And this hope lives in the expectation and desire of glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life, and in a spirit of prayer that leads us daily and hourly to the throne of divine grace for all that aid of the Holy Ghost. This we need, not only for the duties that refer to our relations in another world, but for those that devolve upon us in consequence of our relations in this.